So, Tom, today the action group announced by the provincial government, Jean-François Robert, is now, of course, the Minister of the French Language after a failed shot at being Education Minister. And he says, he says what the government has said all along, right? The decline of the French language is their biggest concern right now. This is being organized to halt its decline. What did you make of what you heard?
Well, it is a tad ironic that the same Minister Robert, who presided over our education sector for the past 4 years, has now decided that, lo and behold, most kids in French school are not learning how to write French properly. He's going to do something about it. Oh, no, wait. He had the ability to do something about it when he was education minister. So now instead, he's going to have an action group. Maybe they sort of get superhero costumes and they go into phone booths, tear off their suits and come back out as an action group. I don't know what they're on about. I think it's just a way of trying to show that this is a big issue and that they care about it. He said he's going to look at a couple of things, of course, which are only fair. But the guy that you have to keep your eye on right now is Bernard Rainville, because mm-hmm. he came up with a list of things. He seems to get it, because there's one. We talked about this a bit yesterday. As long as the province of Quebec keeps using hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidize private schools, the kids who are in the public sector are going to continue to suffer. They're the ones who come out of high school unable to properly write the French language, which is much more complicated to learn, let's not kid ourselves, than English in terms of, you know, the detailed rules of the writing. That's the number one problem we've got, because these kids are more and more attracted to English on social media, in entertainment and so forth, and it's a huge problem. So it's not unfair for the Quebec government to say, okay, we've got to do more than come down with the lunacy of Bill 96, which did things like allowed language bureaucrats to seize your computers in your company without a warrant. So that stuff is completely bonkers, and it's going to get turfed by the courts, despite the notwithstanding clause. I think that that's where we are, Aaron, right now. The average Quebecer is looking at this and just saying, oh, come on, get on with your lives. You walk through the streets in Quebec, you go into any store, you walk into any industry, you get French service, you hear people talking French. Come on, get over it.
Right, and the argument can be made, Tom, that the schools suffered during the pandemic, and so the level of French declined. Except the English school boards did better in those French exit exams than the French ones did. So does that make an argument, perhaps, for bringing back school boards? Because that's one of the things that went through my mind.
What a great notion. I don't know if anybody's put that together. It's the first time I've heard it expressed, but I think it's something that's absolutely worth looking at. Because what they did is they took away community influence, control, and a direct voice by people that you've chosen to have that voice, and they replaced it with bureaucrats. And they've had to hold back under Bill 40 from taking away the English school boards, although they'll do it in a heartbeat if Trudeau is foolish enough to push through C-13 in Ottawa. That would mean it would be very difficult to plead that those are school boards of the official language minority, because there would only be one real official language minority in Canada after that, and that would be French outside Quebec. So I do think that you're onto something there, that when you replace what we had with those bureaucratic structures that are absolutely divorced from the community and from any accountability. Yeah, good on you, Natasha. Really interesting idea.
No, Tom, no, that's far too good an idea. It's far too logical an idea. It's far too common sense an idea. And the most important part of all, it would admit the government failed, and they're never going to admit that they failed in putting in these service centers to begin with. So I can't see that happening.
No, look, let's be fair. Legault got some things right. The creation, for example, of 4-year-old kindergarten is a spectacular idea, but mm-hmm. they're having so much trouble implementing it because it's the first thing that these so-called service centers are cutting. When they're short on teachers, they're cutting the 4-year-old kindergarten. So generally speaking, there's stuff. Sometimes they've got really good ideas, but they're just not thought through.
All right. I'll let it go with that, though. I can't imagine that's going to happen. I said this when we talked earlier on, by the way, how much of this is just show, right?
For sure,
oh, big action group. We're going to get together. Yeah. We're going to come up with something, because, of course, they have to do something. They're being pushed by the opposition now. And at the end, what will change?
Well, and also they've got focus groups. You know, you do these things. You see the surveys, from Léger or from Nanos. That's one part of the information. They've got much more information than that. Individual ministries spend lots of money doing their own polling, and of course that's given to the government and kept within the government, whether it's in Ottawa or in Quebec City. But the most useful tool they have is what are called focus groups, and then you can really drill down on what the average Quebecer is worried about. And of course, worry about the French language, the status of French, the ability for future generations to continue to work and live in French, top of the list, or pretty darn close to it. So yeah, Legault's, you know, he's talking to that base that is concerned about that.
Now, I love this next story about the Green Party, because, you know, in the States, as I took government documents home, there's some classified stuff. They're possibly highly classified. Right here in Canada, well, now we have our own little situation, because the Green Party, it turns out, posted sensitive information about voters and members online. How'd this happen?
Oh, boy. This poor, poor party. Elizabeth May, of course, stepped down. And boy, did she do the right thing when she stepped down. But then she realized that they couldn't possibly do without her. So now she's back. and it's just been... There are other words you could substitute for gong, but the polite way to say it is that party is a gong show. Okay, it is unbelievable. It has been. Anna May Paul was the best thing that happened to them when she replaced Elizabeth May, full of potential, full of hope. And of course, she was dragged down by a mob at the Green Party. And then you go layer after layer. It's like peeling an onion, and you keep crying, saying, how bad can it get? You know, how bad can this party be? And it is that bad. You know, eternal lecturers, you know, always have their index finger under everybody else's nose. And then you realize that they can't even hold on to the personal confidential. Hey, we're talking phone numbers here. Okay, we're talking personal confidential information of tens of thousands of people. So shame on them and shame on Elizabeth May. And I think she should stick with her original idea, which is to move on and do something else.
I mean, I feel like the writing's starting to be on the wall for the Green Party.
Oh, it's been there for years.
Just now?
No,
it's just been moribund. It's you know, it's completely morose. They don't do anything. And she's there in the house. She gets reelected because, of course, people, you know, she's out on Salt Spring Island. Great people. The nice, you know, God's country. You're out on the water in, you know, in BC. It's just a magnificent area. And they're super environmentalists and everybody loves her. And there's one other fellow who managed to get himself elected in Ontario. It's not that environment isn't important. It's crucial. But at some point, you have to realize that this is just taking votes away from any party that might actually have some intention of trying to do something, because the Greens have never done anything and can't do anything. And I think it's just a tragedy to see.
Yeah, and it seems to me at this point, realizing that nothing is going to change, especially at a time like this, Tom, and you're right, it is critical, yet it doesn't seem to change their fate. Maybe it's time to merge. I just thought of this, maybe with the NDP and create the Green DP. What do you think?
Catchy name.
Isn't it, though?
I like
the Green DP.
I do think that it's a good example, because, like, the Liberals came up, you know, they went and got a really highly respected environmentalist in Stephen Guilbeau, stuck him in as environment minister. The first thing they did is, you know, twisted his arm and made him sit around the cabinet table and agree that the best thing to do was to have a major offshore oil project off Newfoundland, Labrador, in a very sensitive area, and then goes and attends a conference on biodiversity and protecting wildlife. You know, the contradictions are major with regard to the Liberals and the environment.
I was going to use the word sold out, but I'm not going to, Natasha.
I just wanted to move on to this Poilievre speech that everybody's talking about. So, I mean, in a nutshell, he said, everything seems broken. What do you say to that?
I think he's looking in a mirror. I'm starting to feel sorry for Pierre Poilievre, because there's only so far you can go by being Debbie Downer. He stands there in front of his caucus, and you know Chicken Little. You know, the sky is falling. Say that you have a constructive criticism of the government and that you're ready to replace it. His criticism of the government is always so white hot and excessive and over the top that he's turning people off. Instead of people saying, you know what, it's true, Trudeau's crew, they're really awful managers. A lot of them are really just pathetic administrators, you know, the airports and the passports and immigration and everything else. Yeah, maybe we're due for a change. And then you get this guy baying at the moon, you know, going completely over the top in his statements, you know, say a fiery speech saying that everything seems broken. Come on, give me a break. I know this sounds commonplace and a little bit maudlin, but you know what? We live in one of the best places on earth. Canada, like, people, when you've got Canadian citizenship, you've won the lottery. And this guy's out there saying, oh, everything's broken. This place sucks. Oh, yeah, tear it down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on. Get over yourself. You're not that important. You haven't accomplished that much. And if you really do want to get something done, learn how to communicate with people, because this stuff is just turning everybody off.
But was it that the softer, kinder version of Poilievre wasn't
working? What softer, kinder version? Where did you ever see a softer, kinder version of Poilievre?
Okay, well, he was mostly quiet. I suppose that was it. He just kind of...
Yeah, say nothing is good.
But I mean, I think that wasn't delivered.
And he, mm-hmm. and you know, he tried to you know, like he did it with Infoman at the end of the year. I mean, he was trying to show him a more humane, communicative side of himself, and he looked like somebody was giving him pretty darn good advice. But then Pierre Poilievre takes over, and, yeah. and over, you know, he's convinced that there's a massive conspiracy against him in mainstream mm-hmm. media. I suspect that he also gets to the point where everything is so dark, he says, oh, even these people who are telling me to calm down and to learn how to communicate, they're part of the problem, yeah. too. They'd have me go on mainstream media. I'll show them. I'll tell all Canadians who want to hear. This is going to be on everybody's newscast tonight, right? Pierre Poilievre railing about how everything is broken.
A tiger doesn't change its stripes, right, Tom? So
exactly.
You're not going to get anything different from him, I don't think. And if you do, it might be for a day or two, but that'd be part of it.
Well, it's pretty much anger. I mean, okay, like passion,
yeah.
great. Determination, yes, part of the job description. But this the airport thing that you and I talked about the other day, and you're telling Natasha yeah. not to watch because it was bad to watch it. He's literally like talking through his teeth angry, right? And you're just sort of going, like, really? You think that that's attracting more voters to the Conservative Party? I don't think so.
No.
He'd be a beauty to call customer service, wouldn't he? Tom Mulcair. Tom, you have a good weekend.
You guys too.
All right. Thanks.